It's Pentecost Sunday. Whoa, I don't know. Does anyone know what that means?
Yes.
We're going to talk about Pentecost this morning. I'm excited. But here's the deal. Like, without explanation, like fragments of the biblical story or like books of the Bible can seem really strange and bizarre, but kind of like, but like when you put the pieces together, you begin to make sense of kind of the big story, the big picture, like the sense of God's movement and then like the application to us. So we're going to start silly, okay? We're going to start silly and even participatory this morning. You can participate silly and participatory. Here it is. You are going to help me, if you can, piece together, and I'm only going to give you a few pieces to begin with, my first world problem that I have right now, okay? And the first piece is this, Emily, the first piece. I'm going to give you pictures, and you can even yell out, what is my first world problem? You have wooden stakes. Does anyone know my first world problem? No, you don't. How about the next picture? Is... bugs. Worms. Bugs. What is my problem?
Trying to regrow your grass.
What is my problem? Hold those thoughts. You're not right yet. You're not right. Next piece of the story, the next element, the next piece is this. Cayenne pepper. Keep going. Next one, Emily. You don't know. There's no way. Coyote urine. What in the world is going on? This is very strange. This is strange. This is strange. Yell it out, James. False. And next one. Next piece. Now you have sod. You're getting more of the pieces right now to what my problem is in the picture. What is it? What is it? And the last one is this. Now here it is. Raccoon. Can you piece it together with all of the elements now?
Raccoons are eating dirt.
I'm laying sod and the raccoons are digging up the sod and because they want to eat the bugs, and the coyote urine was to deter the raccoons, and the steak was to put the cayenne pepper supposed to get the raccoons away too. All that to say, silly, 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 with only certain elements or pieces of the picture, it might not make sense. And today's scripture that we're going to read, can you believe it or not, we're going to read the Bible this morning, is from Acts 2. And I think this section of scripture, Acts 2, verses 1 to 13, if you don't know some of the pieces or the whole story, it can seem a little bizarre and it might not make sense. So Pentecost, here it is. The events of Acts 2 happened 50 days after Passover, this Jewish festival. Some call it the Feast of Weeks or Shavuot. Yeah, it was originally like a harvest festival, and Pentecost has sort of become like this remembering event of sort of like the law given by God at Mount Sinai. And so Jerusalem right now is packed. It's packed with all these Jewish pilgrims from across the Roman world, and they gather together to celebrate Pentecost, right? They gather together, so it's a busy time. It's a diverse group of people, God followers, and they're sharing many things. And so last week, Jerry began his series in Acts here, and we kind of ended with Jesus promising the disciples that the power of the Holy Spirit would come. And so they were in waiting mode here. Now, before I go on, I just want to say a few things, okay? A bit of an asterisk. I think when we teach about God and the Holy Spirit and Jesus, where there is mystery and where things might not be explained in a nice, tidy way, that is okay. Okay, so our God that we believe in here, we're a Christian church, our God is way too big. And I think part of the allure, to be honest for myself, to be explained away a lot of the time. We are very human. God is very much God. And as a pastor or a teacher, I think, honestly, it's kind of a red flag sometimes when people claim to understand it all or put God in a box or control certain things. So with that said, we will ask God's Spirit this morning to illuminate our hearts and minds, because we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit. And it's okay at times not to know. For me personally, it's one of the reasons why I follow Jesus. It's because I need a God and a Savior that is much greater, much bigger, and grand than myself. And so we live in an age where you can have access to almost all information in human history with a click or an ask of Siri or ChatGPT or whatever. But the mystery of God will continue. Okay, and it can be Googled or explained away all the time. And I think it's okay to rest in the mystery of God at times. So at Pentecost here, everyone's gathered together, and this spear comes like a mighty wind, a mighty rushing wind with tongues of fire. And this is the birth of the church. Not a building or a temple, but a spirit-filled community of humans together. And it marks the beginning of God's mission to all nations, all nations. And I'm just going to explain a few different highlights from this section of scripture. And at the end, we're going to refute. Does anyone use that word in their normal day-to-day language? I'm going to refute a certain theology that might be out there. Dale actually brought to my attention a few weeks ago called cessationism. Ooh, okay, it's interesting, but that'll be the end piece, all right? So the first piece is this. You can open your Bibles. We're going to be in Acts 2, verses 1 to 13 the whole time almost, all right? First point is this, and it reads like this. This is God's word. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Take note of that. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. They were all together in one place. So Pentecost begins not with individuals off doing their own thing, but with a community gathered. They're waiting, they're praying, and they're hoping together. And this isn't just a side detail. This is a foundational piece in the start of this new church, okay? So being together isn't an optional exercise for the follower of Jesus. It's essential. It's essential. So discipleship happens in this context, in the context of like accountability and shared life, discussion around God's word, prayer, supporting each other, going on mission. You can only listen to so many podcasts on your own, right? Absorb so much information on your own, and you'll probably impress some people, but you need community and other followers of Jesus to help sharpen you and encourage you in the right ways. So God's initial design, okay, his initial design here was for the church to be with others and hear from others. And it started with this group gathered at this type of festival. Some of my like most meaningful experiences of God's church have been together with other Christians, experiencing worship, experiencing community, being felt seen or known. Together going on missions and serving together, right, through thick and thin, supporting and being cared for and loved for in crisis moments, together. It's a beautiful mess, right? Like, it's a beautiful mess, the sight of heaven, the church, but we have to do it together. So God's initial design, again, the Holy Spirit comes to this group of people in Jerusalem when they were together, not isolated. Loneliness is an epidemic, right? Today, isolation is a significant spiritual roadblock, and Christian community offers, I think, a cure to it. I personally do my worst in life, mentally and physically and spiritually, when I isolate. It's when I do my worst, and I know it, I've learned it. Most of our more North American church experiences are probably a little thin on this committed and accountable to a community type of believer experience. So a question for you I have then is, where in your life, you can ask yourself, are you resisting or kind of like need to follow the Spirit's invitation to community? Maybe it's a small step, asking someone to pray for you. Maybe it's a coffee or a Slurpee invite, a meal together. We run life groups at this church. Maybe it's that step. Maybe it's the church engagement type of thing, right? Like, you gotta take that next step. I would encourage you to be brave and vulnerable. Crossroads is an excellent and safe place to take these types of steps, because we need to do things together. I would encourage you to take the risk and reach out to someone. Even myself and Jerry, we would try and connect you in one way or another to engage in community. One of the first ways God creates his church and empowers it is, again, through this group gathered. We need each other. We need each other. My family, my kids need to see you and engage with you as life goes on here. We need each other. We'll hear and be moved by the Spirit in that way. Okay, second point. Spirit here gives power, but maybe not in the way we would expect, all right? Like, I think, like, as a disciple, I read through this, I don't think the disciples expected or could have known anything that was going to happen. I think maybe the same can be true for us, too. Here's the scripture, right? Suddenly a sound, like, do you think they predicted this? Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. A sound like a violent wind, tongues of fire. That is crazy. In the Bible, mysterious sort of like wind storms and fire, lightning are consistently associated with two things: God's presence and the formation of a temple. All right? So fire here is symbolic of God's presence. It happened at the burning bush, Mount Sinai, in the wilderness. But here, it rests on each person. This is important, okay? This is important. Showing that God now dwells in individuals and not just physical places. This is a big deal. So if you've been around church culture for a little bit, this is why preachers will say, you are the church. Or they'll say, you don't go to church. You are the church. This is part of the reason why right here. Original Greek, the word tongues here refers to actual human language. And this is going to get very cool. And Luke makes it clear in Acts 2:8. He says, when the crowds ask, how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? This is cool. The apostles were a group of Jewish men from Galilee. They spoke the same language, same cultural background, etc., etc. And so God's like, the mission is go reach all nations. How in the world is this going to happen with this group of same people? Pentecost, like we talked about, was groups of people coming to one place together, different backgrounds, different cultures, all together. And all of a sudden, the Spirit rests on them and they can start to understand one another. So instead of sending them right away, like these disciples out right away, God brought the nations to them. And the power of the Holy Spirit enabled them to understand each other. And this is kind of God's way of saying, hey, everyone, the gospel is for everyone. And it starts now. Like, it's starting now. And this is like the made-for-TV dramatic moment. Probably not what the disciples were expecting, right? I cannot, in my mind, think that they were going, yeah, this is how it's going to go. They were probably thinking, yeah, I won't. Like, we want political control of some sort. Like, we want symbol status. This will help us move the message of Jesus forward. But God's timing is always best. His ways are always best. And he, in this story here, spreads his power to everyone. It is to everyone, all followers of Jesus. So with this in mind, Crossroads, let our foundation as a church be Spirit-led and empowered in God ways. In God ways. I'm an ideas person. I have lots of ideas how the church should be and what we should do, right? I'm an ideas person. But this was a major moment for me kind of researching this and going, okay, God, what's the deal here? Kind of laying down some of my thoughts, ideas, solutions, and making sure that we are Spirit-empowered and led and directed as a church. I think Crossroads, we have a culture of doing, right? Like positive, that's a good thing. We like to do things. It might be a Mennonite thing too, I don't know. But I would give like a cautious warning about us just trying to sort of muscle or do our way through some of our issues or next steps as a church. Right now, we probably have to learn to exist in a healthy way with our current size and capacity as opposed to a number of years ago. I think if we want to continue to be a church that allows people to heal and exist without the intense pressure of serve, go, we just have to be aware of who we are and the season we're in. And maybe not doing all the programs will fix everything. I am a fixer, Crossroads. I'm a fixer, and I would be the first to say I want to be a part of healthy growth at Crossroads. But this text in God's Word has reminded me of the importance of Holy Spirit reliance instead of self-drive. So God's power, God's timing, and will is beyond what we might not expect or want, but we've got to be faithful to just what's put in front of us and be good stewards of that. And I want to give some of you permission this morning to just simply be and let the Spirit do the work needed in your life and in our church. I think many cultures, church cultures, would do well to repent on the idolatry of running programs over soul care and reliance on the Holy Spirit. Crossroads. Pray that the Holy Spirit gives us discernment with our yes and our no's, with our dreams, our ideas, our direction for His glory. And I want to put some intentional, as James Halliday would say, boots on the ground to this. But instead of boots on the ground, I want to challenge us in sort of a way to pray together about this. Here's the challenge. Here's my prayer challenge for you today and this following week, Crossroads. I want us to pray together as a church every day for the next week for the Spirit to lead, guide, and empower our church. At 3:33 p.m. Okay, here's your chance. You can get out your phones. You can put it on your reminders. But I want us to pray every day at 3:33 p.m. just for that, that we'd be open to the Holy Spirit to empower, guide, and lead our church. We're even going to send out a church email to you at 3:33 p.m. reminding you to do this. And I just want to invite you to do this next week and just go, hey, Holy Spirit, hey, God, would you lead and be the director of our church moving forward? Emily said, yeah, we probably shouldn't do 666. And I was like, no, we shouldn't, Emily. And then also, that's not even a number on the clock. So 3:33, I thought it was like, oh, Trinity, there's nothing special. It's just a reminder, hey, we're going to pray for the Holy Spirit first, okay? I invite you to join on this challenge. Okay, 3. Spirit breaks down barriers and builds a new people in a new church. Acts 2, 5 and 6 says this. Now they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one had heard their own language being spoken. When researching, I really liked this. There's this Old Testament connection some have made with this portion of Scripture to the Tower of Babel story. Kind of like it's like a reverse of the Tower of Babel, all right? And I was like, oh, that's so cool. Like Tower of Babel, like humanity is like, yes, we're the best. Yes, we're the best. We're going to build the biggest tower. And the Scripture says, to make a name for ourselves, and that's the Tower of Babel. And God goes, no, you guys are not thinking or relying or worshiping me. And He disperses them. Tower of Babel stuff, different languages, they disperse. And here, the Holy Spirit, it is a uniting thing. And people understand each other and brought together by the Holy Spirit and understanding each other, which I thought is just so phenomenal. Okay? So the Holy Spirit here, a piece of it is breaking down barriers. And it's building a new people, a new church. The Holy Spirit unites fellow believers under what? It's under the kingship of Jesus. It's under Jesus. And here, diversity is celebrated and needed in God's original design of the church. So the kingdom of God is not about us deciding who is in and who is out, but it is radical inclusion under the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is offensive, right? This is offensive because I think two reasons. One, you think you might not deserve it. You think, I am not worthy, I don't deserve to be a part of this inclusion under Jesus. Or two, you start to get in the sort of, you drift towards thinking others don't deserve it. Two things, but why it's offensive. The early church welcomed in everyone. They welcomed in everyone. And everyone was needed. They were needed and valuable in their own God-given way because of the grace and forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful scene it is here. I'm sure quite bizarre, but what a beautiful scene that everyone started to somehow understand each other. Even maybe listened to each other. Me and Ashley, we went to Spain lots of years ago, Barcelona, and I we'll do the slide. This farmer's market is called La Bucaria, all right? And I kind of had this picture in my head where there's all these different vendors. It's a massive, massive market. All these different vendors come from different areas. They gather here. Some stay there all the time. But there's lots of different cultures gathered in this market here. And they all belong and they bring different elements to the massive market here. And it is crazy awesome, crazy delicious, and like so many tapas. It was unbelievable. But the diversity added a richness and, of course, a deliciousness to this market. And I kind of think of the Holy Spirit, like this moment of Pentecost, like that. So instead of like top-down organization, like organizations hoarding power, God just goes no. And he empowers everyone. And everyone is bringing different gifts and items and witnesses to the church. And so Crossroads, are we welcoming in some of these differences to our church? Do we and can we exist better with the tension of disagreement with some of our brothers and sisters in Christ, with guests? What role do you personally play in that? Or are we content building little clubs of people just like us? What would it look like to truly be a Pentecost community at Crossroads? Like at that initial moment there, what would it look like? How can our church better reflect that all-in, Jesus-centered unity of Pentecost? It could be beautiful, Crossroads. It can. It could be beautiful. Like it would, like we'd be a place that values holiness, that values each other and surrender and humility and all these fruits of the Spirit types of things. People would be curious. They go, what is going on here? What is going on here? God's love and desired mission to save our city would just pulsate through our actions. Reconciliation would be possible. Peace would be attainable. God would be experienced and worshiped. And if you're looking for meaning and purpose in your life, the church is where you can find it, and we're designed for it. God is calling you to be a part of it. Fourth point, last one, until we get to some refuting. Okay, that sounds so aggressive. The Spirit's work confuses the world, but triggers curiosity, okay? So amazed and perplexed, it says, they asked one another, what does this mean? What does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said they had too much wine. They are drunk, all right? Like, personally for myself, you sometimes hear about these Holy Spirit movements. There's been some recently, you know the picture, I'm like, there's a revival thing at Asbury, and England's been said to have some like quiet revival right now. If you ever want to listen to a really interesting podcast, Wes Huff, he works for Apologetics Canada, a great follow, interviewed with Joe Rogan. And there's just kind of these like moments. You look around and go, man, what is going on here? Like, one, I've got to confess, I have like a bit of a critical and suspicious nature in witnessing some of this stuff, and I don't know. I wish I had more of a childlike faith. But here's the deal. Some of this stuff, like if you read some of the comments, you're gonna see a few things. One, you're gonna see just people mocking it. Like people are just gonna hardcore go, no way, mock it away, not a chance. Some of these like the healings and these revival things, and it just gets mocked away. But there's also another piece where I think people are curious. And they go, what is going on here? What, like, is this legit? Is this a Holy Spirit thing? And you kind of got to wrestle with both of those things. But all that to say, like when the Spirit moves, people don't always know what to do with it. I think that's kind of fair. Some are drawn in, others mock it. And I think this is, like, if you're a follower of Jesus, this is how it is too. Sometimes people are going to mock you. Other times people will be drawn in. And the point I want to pull from this is just asking, if we're okay being a little odd, if it means being faithful to Jesus. Like, you're going to experience some mocking, but at the same time, in my Christian life, you're going to experience as well some people being drawn in. So I just want to, just kind of reference, as a follower of Jesus, it's a little bit difficult sometimes to accept the criticism, the mocking, the like it comes. It just is going to come at you naturally. But at the same time, I think legitimately, if the Holy Spirit is working, like people are curious and are drawn into like these elements of love and the fruits of the Spirit. Like it goes hand in hand. And I just want us, you individually can, or I will pray for you, that we just protect our hearts from that stuff, as well as be open to the Spirit's working in different cases. Okay, in closing, refuting time. Refuting theology. Ah, some of you are going, what? I just want to go eat lunch. Just go. Here's why theology matters, okay? It's hot in here. I know I'm sweating right now. But like, here's why theology matters and why this matters in your life. Okay, Dale, we started talking about like this theology, cessationism at Camp Squee at the youth retreat, and there's Axe body spray everywhere, and wild youth energy, and we're talking about this really intense like theology thing. Cessationism, what is it? What am I talking about? It is the belief that certain spiritual gifts like healing or prophecy, speaking in tongues, miracles, stopped existing after the apostles were done. Okay, like they just ceased to exist. Okay, like they're done, they're no longer needed. At Crossroads Community Church, Anabaptist MCBC, here's a, you could put up the statement of faith, Emily. Can you believe it? We have 24 statements of faith about what we believe, and you have them all memorized, right? But at Crossroads, in statement 15, we actually would believe here that there's a continuation of these gifts, that they continue, all right? So we would say, yeah, like we believe that like miracles and healing and prophecy, et cetera, these types of gifts continue on. Little chart I want to show you. You can look up the history as to why this exists in certain contexts, but here's the truth, like biblical stuff kind of refuting it. One, you can throw it up there, Emily, okay? One, the Spirit is promised to all who God will call, Acts 2:38-39. Why is it refuted? The promise is not time limited. Two, Spirit abides forever, John 14:16. No expiry date, okay? Gifts last until the perfect comes. Perfect is Christ's return. Signs will follow those who believe, Mark 16:17. That includes believers today. Spirit empowers the church's global witness. Spirit isn't, mission isn't done. We're not done here yet. We're not done. So the Spirit is not done. Just a few things really quickly, and so you'll, like, why does it matter? Like so what? Like, so what? If the Spirit is still alive and working in these ways, then one, like following Jesus was never meant to be done on our own strength, and that is a huge relief. So it empowers us to live out like these radical ways of Jesus, to forgive, love our enemies, stay faithful. And it also means, yeah, like healing still is possible. Miracles still possible. Dreams, the supernatural is still possible. I personally have experienced healing in my life. You've just heard a testimony from Amy. She has experienced God's healing in her life. It means this. It means each believer, each one of you, has been given gifts to build up the church. So, right, like whether you're a parent, student, truck driver, farmer, you are an expert at Mario Kart, your gifts matter. You matter and are needed. It means you can be open to God moments. You don't have to be just dead in the water. Like, God can move at any moment through you. And one of my personal favorite reasons is that you can know that the Spirit is your comforter. He is in you and living in you. What does this mean? So when you're weak, grieving, unsure what to pray, Romans 8:26, it's got to be in my top five Bible verses of all time. It says this, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Because the Spirit is still alive, still active, the gifts are still going, you don't have to go it alone. I tell my kids in the car every morning, God loves you, God is with you, except when I'm a little bit frustrated and angry, right? I tell them, God loves you, God is with you. Crossroads, the Holy Spirit is with you. Live it out, believe it. Let's pray. Jesus, it's a gift. Pentecost reminds us of the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's very confusing. I really don't understand it all the time, Jesus. Help us to believe in it, live it out, know it, that you are with us, that you empower us. As a church, we ask for your special anointing of the Holy Spirit.
Give us wisdom and discernment and direction. Holy Spirit, would you care and just comfort us, Holy Spirit, in all the ways that we need. In your good name, Jesus, amen.